who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Come on. I know everybody's starting to come on in and get relaxed, find your spot. We want to remind you, for worship, you can come around the altar and enjoy the presence of Jesus. We're having a little bit of a struggle with the water pressure, and so we are going to move the water baptism, make sure the water baptism is second service. We'd have to part the Red Sea with 2 inches of water to get in there. Amen. So we're filling it slowly, and we just pray for your grace. So second service will be the water baptism. We want to welcome all those that are watching online this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. You are our family, and we love you. And today, I just want to remind everybody, be praying for all the folks that are at the college graduations. There's college graduations all across the state today, and people are all over. Pastor Andrea is all the way down in Virginia at her graduation down there. And so I just want to remind you, just keep all those folks in prayer as they travel. This is my Uncle Howard. Many of you don't know him. His name is Pastor Howard Underwood. He's been pastoring for 51 years. Amen. The average pastor, actually, they say only 5% of all pastors who begin in the ministry finish the ministry. And my uncle is 77, correct? Or 78? 78 years old this year. Pastoring 51 years, what a great honor, isn't it? So we're going to have an open in prayer here this morning, and then we're going to enjoy the presence of Jesus. Pastor. All
right. Greetings in the name of Jesus. We're so delighted to be visiting the area, to be with your pastor and his family and our other family members, and perhaps even some folks back east that may be in the service we don't know about, friends of ours are back there that have come here. This is the day the Lord has made. That's right. We can rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So let's invite his presence into the service this morning. Father, we're delighted to be in your house today. We came for one reason today, and that was to bless your name. We came to hear the word of God. We came to receive what you have for us. We came to receive whatever we need in body, mind, and soul. We ask you to have your way in each and every heart this morning. And if there's anyone in your house this morning that doesn't know you, oh God, we pray they would never get out the door without finding you as Lord and Savior this morning. We thank you, and let your Holy Spirit just reign today in our hearts, in this service. We ask, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
Now, the one thing about this is that if you look at my Uncle Howard, you know I have hope for the future. Amen.
We love you.
Yeah.
For the Lord delights in showing mercy. For the Lord delights in showing mercy.
Go ahead, repeat after me. I want to hear you sing this. My praise is a weapon.
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 My dance 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 is a weapon.
And my shout is a weapon.
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 My praise is a weapon.
My praise is a weapon.
My dance 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 is a weapon.
And my shout is a weapon.
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 Strength I need, you
my strength,
my strength,
my strength.
Oh, the joy,
oh, the joy
of the Lord is my strength. That is enough to overcome the world. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the joy.
Thank you. found, I know there's nothing but the blood of Jesus.
He raised.
He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me up with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up, He turned me around, how He set my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all the praise.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you so much for Jesus this morning. Lord, there's nobody that we're happier to be in the presence with than Jesus. Jesus, we ask that you'll increase your anointing in this room this morning. God, it doesn't mean anything just to go to a church building. Lord, you have to be more present than ever before. Jesus, you're coming soon. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. God, before we do, we've got to have a magnificent harvest for your kingdom. Which means, Jesus, we need to walk in the anointing more than we've ever walked before. Lord, we know that we need your presence, because without your presence, it means nothing. So, Jesus, we pray for just that fresh anointing. Fresh anointing.
What can wash away my sin?
Come on, sing it now, church.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And oh, precious is the flow, and that makes me white.
We can have all the religion we want, but without the blood of Jesus, you're not going to heaven. Amen. Can you give God thanks for the blood this morning? How many of you know and you remember where you came out of? All the sin you came out of. How many of you are glad He washed your sins away? Not everybody. I said, how many of you are glad He washed your sins away? Man, you are messed up. You are all just filled with foul, but God changes your life with the application of the blood of Jesus. Isn't God good? I said, isn't God good? I can't hear you. I said, isn't God good? Amen. Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you go and find five people you don't know and say, I thank God for the blood this morning. Don't go just sit in your seat. Go find somebody you don't know and say, I thank God for the blood.
Thank you. Hello, His Tabernacle family. I'm so excited to announce the 17th annual bike blessing right here at His Tabernacle Family Church. This is when you get a hold of all your biker friends and get them down here for May 26th. Registration starts at 8:30 a.m., 70-mile ride. Then we eat some amazing food. We've got biker games right after this year. Man, you don't want to miss it. His Line Crossers is putting it on. So make sure you invite all your biker friends. We also share the gospel so they can hear that God is good and not bad. So come on, if you don't have a bike, get a bike. If you don't have a bike, you don't want to get a bike, then get down here and help us. You want to just put your hand to the plow and be a blessing. So thank you so much. I'll see you May 26th right here at His Tabernacle Family Church.
We're starting our annual baby bottle drive. What we do is we take the bottles home, fill it with your change, and then bring it back. All donations will go directly to the Southern Tier Pregnancy Resource Center. If you'd like to see how they impact the community, they have statistics right up the hub. So grab a baby bottle and help make a difference.
Hey, have you joined a group yet? Listen, we want you to join a group because we have these available to help our family get connected. We want you to make sure that you're growing in relationship with Jesus as well as with our family. We actually have the opportunity to become a part of something larger. So you can go online at histabernacle.com/groups and sign up to join a group today.
You should join my group.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Who is excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So come on, give your King of Kings a hand clap. Come on, give him a shout of praise. He is deserving of this glory. He is deserving of this day. Amen, amen. Welcome to our 9 a.m. service. We're so excited you can be here with us. If this is your first time here, can I just ask you to do something really awkward and just slip up your hand like this, like real, real slow, and then all the way up? Awesome. Please keep your hand up. Our guest people, they're going to bring you guys a gift. Come on, give it up for our guest. As Pastor Rhonda says, you are brilliant to be in the house of the Lord, so thank you so much for coming to worship with us. Inside that packet you will get, you'll see some gifts from us. You're going to get a mug as well. But also on this side of the building after our service, we'd love for you to come out to our guest reception. You get to meet our senior pastors, some of the staff pastors, get to know us a little bit more, get some free coffee and some free pastries. So who's excited for some free coffee? Amen. There it is. All you heathen people. So on this side of the sanctuary, we'd love to come and see you guys right afterwards. Amen. If you're watching on live stream, we're so excited you guys could join in. Come on, get up for our live stream people. You are still part of our campus. We're so excited that you could join us. Doesn't Pastor look great on the Harley? All three people agree. Awesome. I wanted to share with you guys really quickly that we have something called groups going on. Who knows about groups? All right. If you are a group leader, can I see you stand up? If you are actively leading a group. Wow. Now, please stay standing. If you are sitting down and you are not in a group, you have somebody in your row or in proximity to you, I need you to chase them down afterwards and say, hey, can I join your group? Groups are so amazing. In fact, we heard that there, please keep standing. Thank you. We heard that there was actually a testimony in one of the groups. Mind you, not in Sunday service, not the senior pastor. This was in a group where somebody got hands laid on them and they got supernaturally healed in a group. How amazing is that? They came for coffee, they came for donuts, they came for a good time with their friends, but they left healed by the power of God in a group. How amazing is that? There are so many amazing things that are happening in the groups all around our town. So I need you to look around people and say, I want to join your group if you have not joined. Can you do that for me? All right, so go chase them down after service and please join a group. I'd like to have Pastor Rhonda up.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning. What an awesome time in praise and worship this morning. I just know that in the Word of God in the Old Testament, whenever they were going out to battle, they sent the worship in front of them. And so this morning, the worship has gone out in front of you, whatever it is you're facing. And the blood of Jesus that was applied over the doorpost of your life causes all that stuff to have to pass over. Amen. So you were brilliant for being in the house of the Lord today. He gives us victory by his blood. Amen. So last week we released for the first time my brand new book, God Cannot Lie. We did get a new supply in, so there are more of these available to you today out in the hub. So please, if you'd like to, I promise if you read it, you're going to want to buy one for a friend. So go ahead and just pick up two while you're here. We made them nice and cheap. They're only $10. Get them for yourself and for anybody that you know that needs a faith boost. And so I want to give this to Uncle Howard and Aunt Jane. So if somebody, Brittany, somebody, anybody, yep. Could get that back to Uncle Howard and Aunt Jane. Thank you. Love you guys. So as we enter this time of tithes and offering, which is a time that I absolutely love to bring you the Word of God. Not my words, the Word of God. And the word tithe simply means 10%. And so the Word of God tells us in Malachi 3 and also in Matthew, for all of those that thought it was just an Old Testament principle and so we don't have to tithe anymore. In Matthew 23, actually I'll jump right over there real quickly so you can see it in the New Testament because I know that's important for some people. In Matthew 23, verse 23, he tells them that you tithe and you do all these things, and but you neglect the weightier matters such as justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So even in the New Testament, the Lord tells us to tithe, which is 10% of our income. So why is it, though, that we tithe? Let's read Malachi 3:10. It's for our benefit. Everything that God does in his word, every parameter, every law, every ordinance, every blessing, everything in the word of God is for our benefit, for our victory. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe. Now this is the word of the Lord. Bring the whole tithe. So maybe you've tithed once and then missed 4 weeks, tithe 2 weeks, missed 3 weeks. No, bring the whole tithe, because the reason we follow his word is so that there's no bumps in the blessing and the harvest of God. He wants us to be in continued increase and prosperity. So it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, which is the church, so that there may be food in my house, so that the work of God can be accomplished. We tithe so that the gospel, the good news of Jesus can go across this house, across this region, and across the world, which you have been so faithful in tithing that we are able to take the gospel, the good news of Jesus, all over the world. So that is why we tithe, so that there may be food in my house. And then he says, and test me in this. The reason he says test him is because he wants us to learn how to tangibly, in front of ourselves, trust him. If we can't trust him in money that we can see in front of ourselves, we are fooling ourselves if we think we're trusting him in other areas. When we go to reach for that trust, it's just not there. So he tells us to test him because he wants us to learn how to trust him in the stuff that we can see right in front of us. And the word of God says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. So he says, test me in this now, says the Lord of hosts. Test me in this now. Not next week or the start of the next quarter or the next tax time. Test me in this now and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing until it overflows. God desires you to tithe which everything belongs to the Lord anyway, so we're just returning back to Him what belongs to Him. He desires us to tithe so the windows of heaven can be opened up in our lives, no matter what the season is that's in front of us. And He tells us in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, He tells us how to do this. He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Let each one do what he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able, here's that trust and that faith portion, God is able to make all grace, that's everything you need for life and godliness, all grace abound to you, and always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good work. So we tithe so the house of God can have abundance for every good work, and so that your lives can have abundance for every good work. Amen. He desires us to be blessed and prosperous as his children. And so we quote every single week the blessing and prosperity of the Lord from Deuteronomy 28. If you're ready to give along with us, maybe you've never tithed before. The Word of God says, now is the time to test me and see. Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration, the promise of God for those that tithe, found in Deuteronomy 28. And it says, repeat after me, if I obey, then I am blessed going out. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Shout it out, I'm blessed. Lord, if you're watching by live stream, go ahead and click on the giving button. You can give right along with us or even text to give.
Bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I had 10 HT stickers for your car, but somebody already came and took one. If you'd like one, not all of them. What did he do? He took them all. Just mug him. Just mug Bruce. Cheapers, Bruce. They're for sale in the foyer. Oh, look at that. I've got two left. I got it. Oh, I got one left. I got one. There we go. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to remind you, they go on the outside of your car, not the inside, unless you're in an ambulance. All right. I'm very excited today because I love preaching the gospel. There's nothing more exciting than preaching God's word. Nothing more weighty than preaching God's word. And what I love about preaching God's word is You know, I don't know if you realize this, but there are a lot of pastors who go, there's books out there, and they go and they find out what sermon everybody is preaching today in their black book. And then they preach that sermon. But I want you to know, I don't go to a book, I go to the book. And I believe that there's a need to make sure you get a fresh download from heaven of what God wants to say to his people. So before I ever preach, I always say this: Jesus, what do you want to say to your people, and how do you want it said? If you were standing up here personally, what would you want spoken from this pulpit? Now you see, in that, I recognize without any reservation that this is not my church. This is not your church. We are his church. Oh, you're awful quiet this morning. I don't want to go into sections. It's been a few years. But I believe without any question that we've got to get back to understanding that the fresh word of God, just like the fresh manna that came from heaven, is the mandate and mandatory for every one of our lives. You can't live off what God gave you yesterday. You got to have freshness today. Can I hear an amen or oh my? We're starting our third week on the series. We've got one more week, and it's called Living in Our Yesterday. So many people are living in their yesterday, which disconnects them from their today and their destiny. The greatest thing that we have as a commodity in our life is called time. It's the most expensive thing that you have. You see, you can buy new things. You can get new money. We put great wealth on vehicles and on baptismal tanks that don't fill up quickly and all these other things. We put great wealth on all of that, but that comes and it goes. How many of you know money cometh and money goeth? Yes, it does. How many of you see money goeth sometimes quicker than money cometh? Amen. Then it's time to sow. Amen. Turn to someone and say, be a sower then. Time, though, you can't buy it. You can't relive it. Once it's gone, it's gone. It's the most expensive thing that we have. And how we live our time determines whether we are going to be people that will live in blessing or in cursing. That time that is so expensive, how we choose to live it determines the harvest that we're going to have. We did a sermon a few years ago, how time is a seed. Every moment of our day is a seed. And because of that, how we seed our time determines the harvest. In fact, many of us are living in the harvest of time that we've already planted. Some of you don't like the harvest that you're receiving, so you need to learn how to plant differently with your time. Are you out there this morning? The verse we're using is this, Psalms 118, verse 24. My uncle quoted it. He's not even been here. And it's this: this is the day. Everybody shout, this is. That's right. This is the day. You can't relive yesterday. You can't have yesterday to live over. Yesterday is absolutely gone. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. We talked about the power of a day, and there's 86,400 seconds in every day, 1,440 minutes in every single day, and it's all combined in something we call hours, or there's 24 hours in a day, and then that day is finished. Some of us have never capitalized on the day that God has given us. We've allowed the day to escape us. Listen, we've gotten up in the morning, we're a little bit grumpy, never got into the word, never allowed God to use our life. We put our head back down on the pillow in night, and our day was wasted. It had no eternal value to it at all. You see, I believe that you and I are here not to suck air, but that God would use our life with eternal value. Every single day is the opportunity to plant eternal seeds, for one plants, one waters, but God brings the increase. Can I hear an amen? You see, this is the reality of who and where we are, and how many of us have wasted massive amounts of time. Many of us are no different today than we were last week. In fact, there are a lot of folks, they're like this: you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Those are the people you slap nicely upside the head. Because what they're saying is, I don't care what my time does, I'm going to still live in my yesterday. Therefore, I have no today, and my destiny is already doomed. When we understand that we live today because God has a plan for us, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. Why would we rejoice in the day that he has given us, these 1,440 minutes? Why? Because God has eternal purpose for you on this planet for this moment in this time. Your purpose to change lives through the power and the name and the blood of Jesus Christ, and God has called you. That's why you're still breathing. Turn to someone and say, you're breathing for a reason. Some of us have wasted 604,800 seconds, 10,080 minutes, or 24 hours times 7 days. We'll just say it that way. Boy, that would have got real messy, wouldn't it? Wasted an entire week, 608,000 plus seconds. You know, we look at $1 million and many of us go, wow. But we look at the amount of seconds that we have and we just allow them to slip by. If every second was a dollar, I guarantee you wouldn't be allowing it to escape your hands. But yet in our day, we have become so desensitized to the reality that death is closer than even eternity is one step away. Listen now, it's right here. We've got to make a determination and a declaration that I refuse to allow my days to slip by, and I refuse to allow my days not to make a difference, and I choose to not allow my yesterday to destroy my today, because my today is a lifetime and my yesterday is dead. I can't hear you say amen. God showed us this. I shared this with you. God, there's two types of times. There's linear time. And then there's eternal time. I was preaching in the Bible, I was teaching in the Bible college eschatology, or the end times. And in the middle of the great tribulation period, when the seventh seal is open, within the seventh seal are the seven trumpets and the seven bowls. As the trumpets are getting ready to be sounded by the angels that have the trumpets in their hand to release judgment upon the earth, there is a woe, woe, woe. God says is a woe that's declared three times in eternity. And for the first time in all of eternity, we see something happen. Literally, heaven goes silent for 30 minutes. It's the first time that linear time invades eternal time. It is so powerful of a moment to realize that there is a separation. But the reason that God gave us linear is because, listen now, how many of you have sinned at least once in your life? How about twice? And if all God created was eternal time, you'd never have the opportunity to be forgiven. But because God created linear time, he has created a day and he created a night. And in that day, that 24-hour period, he has said, you have the opportunity to live for me. You have the opportunity to be forgiven by me. You have the opportunity to be released in the anointing by me. You have the ability to change lives for me in these 24 hours. But yet, if you do not, or if you fail, thank God for linear time, because we now have time to ask forgiveness. And every single day, this is the day the Lord has made. As the sun rises over the horizon, all of a sudden we realize we've got a new 24 hours. Can you thank God for 24 hours? Can I hear an amen? Every day we wake up with a new sign from heaven, and he is showing us we have the ability to start brand new. I can't tell you how many people have said to me, well, Pastor, you know, my life has been so bad. I've been such an evil person, but this is a new day. Oh, Pastor, I love God and I serve God, but I messed up so bad. But this is a new day. You can't change yesterday, but you can live today. Many people stop living their todays. Right now, you're sitting in church on 16 Level Acres Drive in Horseheads, New York, 14845. Here you sit in a sanctuary as the preacher is preaching the word of God. As you've had time to worship, the worship service is now over. That's dead time. We can never regain those moments. Our minds being flooded with the problems of our life, with the situations of our past. And God is saying you've just wasted those moments, those seconds, those minutes, and you can never retrieve them. Those opportunities of worshiping me now are now gone. Now you've got to start new. You've got to have and grab a hold of the new. Those minutes, those seconds. Seconds in front of you. This is the day the Lord has made. What are we doing with our day? When we realize this, then we cannot allow our lives to escape us. You cannot allow the life to live you instead of you living life. But the issue is that many of us are living in our yesterdays. This is who we are. This is what we do. You can tell those people because every time you talk to them, the first thing they talk about is their past. They start talking about how the good old days were. About how, wow, you know, I just love the way I used to have it 20 years ago. Well, listen, 20 years ago, that's a great memory, but it's dead time. The first thing you do when you sit around a lot of people that are mature is they start telling you about all their sickness and diseases. I'm on this medication, I'm on that medication, and I'm this and I'm that. And they're sitting back and they're literally living in their yesterday. Instead of declaring, okay, I was sick yesterday, but this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I determined to be healed today by the power of Jesus' name. For healing is for me. It's part of the bread of the table. I refuse to live in my yesterday. I choose to grab a hold of the gospel today. We allow our pasts and our wounds to literally shape our lives for today. Our yesterday's wounds become our life's motivation today. This is why you see people in great depression. This is why you see people always recluse and withholding themselves because of the different wounds in their life. This is why you see some people extroverted, so irritating. And the reason they're that way is they're trying to hide their wounds that they have in their heart. It doesn't matter what your wounds are. If you're allowing your wounds of yesterday to dictate what your today will be, then you must have a breaking of the bondage of your yesterday to live in what God has called you to. You see, if we allow our yesterday's wounds to determine our today, then we will never reach our destiny. We'll always be living in the past. We'll always be living in shackles. We'll always be living in bondage. But Christ has called us to be free, and free indeed. We limit our opportunities of God's blessing when we allow yesterday's wounds to dictate how we feel and how we act and how we live today. And this is reality in every one of our lives. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care how strong you seem to be. Every one of us have had wounds in our lives. Every one of us have had people reject us. How many of you have ever been rejected by somebody you love? Everybody else, you're a liar. Everybody's had some level of rejection in their life. Somebody that they loved, somebody that they cared about, turned against them and turned away from them. Listen, this is no different from what Jesus experienced. His own family rejected him. His own brothers mocked him because he said he was the Messiah. His own countrymen ran against him and tried to throw him over a cliff in Luke chapter 4. Then we find God while he's on the cross because he's carrying all this. God even turned. You see, Jesus experienced rejection at every level. But I want you to hear this today, that rejection does not have to be the mandate of how you live. Now, this is reality even for my own life. I remember, and I was just talking to Minister Redner this last week. I remember in my own life. I remember in sixth grade, my best friends, I had two best friends. We grew up in the same neighborhood. Listen, I lived in a town of 1,000 people. So the friends you had, you only walked to. Can I hear an amen? We went down and we built bicycles out of the town dump. That's the way you get around. So here we are. I'm best friends with these guys my whole life. And then in sixth grade, Kurt Dumas, he is a great guy. He decided to go logging with his father in the summer just before he became into middle school. And he came back from that summer with muscles upon muscles upon muscles. And he became extremely popular. At that moment, I kind of disappeared. One of my best friends no longer called, no longer talked to me. My other best friend, he started partying in about ninth grade. And I wasn't a partier. I chose not to be. My father told me one thing that I actually grabbed a hold of. He says, I want to know what I've done, how I've done, who I did it with, and if I had fun doing it. And you can't always do that when you're drunk or on drugs. So I said, well, I guess if I have to have fun helped, if I have to have help having fun, then I've got a serious problem. Can I hear an amen or oh my? And so I never did drugs or drinking, so I went a different road. So he abandoned me. And then my father abandoned us when I was 15 years old. Now, my dad doesn't remember saying this, but I remember. I was up in his bedroom as he's packing his clothes. And I said, where are you going? Now, my dad and I were best friends. And he said to me, I'm leaving. And I said, but why are you leaving? He turned and he said, it's your fault. He doesn't remember saying that. My dad and I have a great relationship today. I'm not bashing my dad. But I want you to know something. From, I think it was like 5 or 6 days, I didn't even go to school. I just went out, walked in the woods, trying to figure life out. I dealt with a lifetime, and I could go on and on of the different rejections that I've had in my life and the emotional scars that I've had in my life, just like you can. We all have these type of wounds in our life, and I found that what I did was I became somebody who would not allow people to cross a certain barrier in my heart. And so because of rejection, I rejected people today that could get me to my tomorrow. Did you eat that? Because of the emotional scars of my yesterday, carrying them into my today, I dislocated people who could bring me to my tomorrow.
Gotta let that settle.
Gotta let that sit. Because we all use excuses. Of the wounds of our past. We've been betrayed. How many of you have been betrayed? Jesus had a betrayal. His name was Judas. Everybody thinks of Judas, but it wasn't just Judas. It was all the rest of the disciples but John and Peter. All the rest of them ran when Jesus was acquired in the Garden of Gethsemane. John and Peter went to the trials, but guess what happened at the trials? Peter denied him not once, not twice, but... Here's a guy that just cut a dude's ear off because he came to take Jesus out of the garden. Now he's denying him not once, not twice, but Jesus experienced betrayal. It's real. And those emotions are real. And the effects can be real. But Jesus made a determination. He determined he was still going to go to the cross. Even while he was hanging on that old rugged tree, he made a choice. Listen, well, he hung on the tree because he was God. No, he was all man. Philippians chapter 2, he gave up all of his heavenly glory. He experienced the pain that you and I would have experienced on that cross. And yet, upon him came all the sins of humanity. And instead of cursing them while he was on the cross, instead of reacting to the betrayal, he made a choice. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. You see, we have choices with the experiences of yesterday. We have a choice to do something with what has happened in our lives. Some people in the room, you've been abused. Your father beat you, your mother beat you. You've experienced sexual abuse. You were sexually abused from a young age. Male and female. You're experiencing emotional and verbal abuse, even maybe by your spouse now. And we use those excuses of those wounds to say, I can't be who God's called me to be. Listen, God knows what you're going through. God will heal your heart. I love you so much. God will heal your heart. I want you to know that God will heal your heart. I said God will heal your heart. I said Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. God will heal your heart. Stop allowing your yesterday's pain to determine the destination of your today. Some of you are abandoned. Lied to, divorce. Some of you are dealing with death. And in every one of those situations, and there's just this list that are longer than we could ever imagine or count as we're sitting here today, and we've allowed what we've experienced in our yesterday to determine the emotions of today, to determine our passion for God today, to determine whether we'll reach our destiny today. And we've allowed, we're carrying along with us this long trail of wounds in our past. And Jesus came that you might have that life and life more abundantly. What I love about Jesus, he didn't just come to save you from your sin. He came to make you whole. We allow those wounds to create fears that they're going to repeat themselves. I got great news for you. They're going to repeat themselves. You are going to get hurt again. You are going to be betrayed again. You are going to be abandoned again. You're going to have some level of abuse again. You're going to have these horrible experiences again in our lives. Well, Pastor, I thought that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundant. Yes, but we live on a fallen world. Can I hear an amen? And yes, Jesus will give you life and life more abundant when you recognize that your worth is not bound up in the wounds of your yesterday, but in the healing of today. When you understand this, it changes your perspective. You're not walking wounded. You're the walking healthy with maybe some wounds. But man, with those wounds, you can help other people get healed. You know, I've told this story many times. But if I have a cut on my thumb here that's pretty prominent. And that cut on my thumb came because I was whittling backwards with my father's utility knife in the third grade. I think it was fourth grade because I was playing basketball. Fourth grade. So here I'm whittling backwards, and the knife slips, and it goes right down to the bone. Very little blood because it was such a great cut. They took me to the hospital, and you can actually see the three stitch marks that are there. I had the stitches done, and I was on the basketball team, and we were playing a regular game, and I was the point. Really short point, but I was the point. And it was my turn to get out there, and my dad, just before that day's game, my dad, he took the stitches out for me. And here, did you hear my mother laugh out there? My mother's in the congregation. Yes, my father took the stitches out. I remember turning around. I'm at center court, and I turned around to get the ball, and a kid was there, and it hit just like that, and tore that wound open. It wasn't cut now. Now it tore, and blood went boosh. It was all over the court. They're grabbing cloth and stuff, wrapping my thumb up, and I went back home, and my father said, you'll be all right. He butterflied it together. He put a popsicle stick under my thumb, taped it up with the white tape, and it healed, baby. Let me tell you something. I will never forget my experience of yesterday in the fourth grade. But the great news I have is I can hit it as many times as I want and it doesn't hurt. Some of you are still carrying your wounds from yesterday, and every time somebody touches it, you flinch, which means you're not whole. And whether you like it or not, it is impacting your today. Until you're whole, your yesterday's wounds impact your today, which means you delay your destiny. You do know that there's something called delayed destiny, right? That God has a plan for you. Before he ever formed you, he knew you. He had a desire for you. And that's why you're here at this time and in this season. And God's plan for you is eternal. His gifts are without repentance. Yea and amen. And God has you on this path of fulfilling the destiny that he has before you. But yet we're dragging all of our yesterday's wounds, making decisions about our today. And instead of moving forward, we take a right. We go get a drink at the local bar to try to make ourselves feel better. We've been abandoned, so we take a left and we find a man or a woman to bed with. We're moving forward, we get wounded, and instead of continuing forward, we get mad at God, start shaking our fist at him, and sit down instead of continuing to walk. These are just a few of the examples of the reality of life that I've seen in 30 years of ministry, of people that have had an anointing on their life so powerful, but yet have never fulfilled God's destiny because they've delayed it, because they've never let go of their past wounds, but they live in it today. Are you out there this morning? Some of us deal with unforgiveness. If you're here in this room this morning and you're dealing with yesterday's unforgiveness, I want you to know that it never stays dormant. It always grows into a root of bitterness. Listen,
Your unforgiveness of yesterday's pain that's now invading your today is literally making you an individual that will become tainted inside. I call it the black plague. At first, when it surrounds your heart, it's a little supple. But as time goes on, it encrusts itself. And that's what unforgiveness does. It makes you all crusty. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Come on, you know that old person that's never forgiven, that's all bittered. Man, you don't want to be near them like nobody else. Can I hear an amen? Man, every time you get near them, you go, oh, Jesus, help us all. But some of you are destined to be there because you've chosen not to forgive the people that have wounded you, and you've allowed that unforgiveness to invade your today, which halts your tomorrow. We've got to make decisions in our heart that nobody, can I hear you? Nobody, there's not one person on this planet that is worth losing your today for. I teach it real quickly, and that is when you find somebody disloyal in your life, stop giving them time. You wouldn't give them money, but you give them your time. We've got to recognize that you and I have limited amounts of time. We cannot regain them when they're gone. So we cannot allow them to escape because of the wounds of our yesterday. We've got to say that today is a new day. I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? I said, I thank God for the blood of Jesus. Can I hear an amen? And in that, we make a decision. Yesterday was harsh. Yesterday was difficult. I can't believe they did that to me. But we have a choice. Jesus, do I choose to remain and sulk and swill? Do I choose to sit back and allow myself to be covered with the soot of yesterday? Or do I choose to take a shower today? And as I shower in the shower, how many of you know sometimes you get some dirt? Well, you know, one of the things about motorcycle riding that I love is I like riding around here, but I love going long distances. It's one of my favorite things. I love going, my wife and I are going to be traveling to Florida here in a few weeks. I love jumping on the Harley. We got 1,200 miles to go. And baby, we just strap that motor. And here we head down the highway at 72 miles an hour. On cruise control. With my feet up on the pegs. My beautiful wife on the back. My Harley chick, glory to God. And I realize that I'm white. No, I'm white. There are white people, and then there are transparent people. I'm one of those transparent white folk. And so I have to lube up. I mean, I put 50 SPF all over my face, on my head. And if I'm not wearing a helmet, I make sure it goes right on the dome. Glory to God. I was working with my son, Chad, on his deck the other day, and he said to me, Dad, you need a hat. And I said, why? He goes, you're getting really red on top. You see, what I like is when I look in the mirror, I can't see it, so it's not there. I might talk to Hair Club for Men. You just never know. But I lube all up, and man, let me tell you something. When you're done a day of 400 miles or plus on the Harley-Davidson, riding down the interstate at 70 miles, some odd miles an hour, and it's a sunny day out, man, you get to that hotel, the very first thing you do is this, you shower. Because you can't see the dirt, but all of the lube catches the dirt. That's the truth, man. When I'm showering after going a day on the Harley, literally it's black all over the bottom of the tub because it caught all the dirt. Now I'm washing it off, and it's going down the drain. And when I get in bed, I'm clean. Some of you haven't been clean in a lot of years. You've carried yesterday's dirt for so long. that now you can't even recognize that you're dirty. You can't recognize because your past, your yesterday is so saturated into every day that you live that every decision you make is being made out of your gut theologies of your yesterday. What I believe I am today. I want you to know that Jesus Christ will heal you. He'll heal your heart. Luke chapter 4 verse 18 says this, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." I'm reading in the Amplified Version. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the good news of the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release." Everybody shout release. Shout release. "The word means pardon or forgiveness to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed by tragedy. Some of you are crushed by tragedy, and it's real. Listen, I'm not telling you that you won't remember it. I'm not telling you that it's not real. But what I'm telling you, Jesus wants to make you whole. You can't forget the situation. God chooses to forget. He did not give us that ability. You can't forget, but you can forgive. You can't forget, but you don't have to allow it to invade your today. You don't have to allow it to bring you on a detour of life. You can choose to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and get healed inside and become a whole person. It's a choice. And no one makes this choice but you or I. See, some of you are so brokenhearted. Things that have happened so many years ago or have continued to happen over your years. That when an opportunity of God is placed before you today, you will choose to never step into that opportunity because the first thought is, will that happen again? And I've, like I said earlier, I got great news. It will. But if your choices are made because of your yesterday's experiences, you'll never walk by faith and not by sight. Good word this morning. Some of you won't step into a relationship because of your past relationship. There are people watching by live stream that don't want to step foot in the church building because of their past experience with churches. There are people that are going to be watching by television right now. You're watching by TV, and the only reason you watch by TV is because of the wounds you had in a church or your philosophies of church, and therefore your today is changed because you're supposed to be here, not there. Some of you just live in fear, constant fear. Is it going to happen again? Is it going to happen again? Is it going to happen again? Yes, but your reaction doesn't need to be the same. Your problem is not your problem, it's what you do with your problem. The wound is not the wound, it's how you fix the wound. And the great part is you don't need to fix it alone because Jesus came to heal your broken heart. Jesus came to heal you, bind you up, and make you whole. I love 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Every one of those started with a problem. Every one of those started with something that happened in their yesterday. But it didn't end there. It moved forward. When you start moving forward, things start to change in your life. Let go of your fear. Let go of your past. Let go of your yesterday and say, God, this is the day the Lord has made. What do you have planned for me? You got to stop seeing yourself as the victim. When somebody always comes up and starts sharing about their past wounds, I want you to know something honestly. I want to grab you and hug you and pray for you, but I don't want to hear it every week I see you. You know what that means? If every week we see you, you're talking about the same wound. You want to know what it is? It means you've chosen to live in your yesterday. Don't blame that person. You've made a choice to live in your yesterday. You made a choice to live in your past. You made a choice to be harnessed from your destiny and your purpose of life. And you've got to make choices in your heart. Nobody can make them for you. Your husband can't make them. Your wife can't make them. Your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your aunt, the pastor can't make them for you. You got to sit down with Jesus and say, man, God, I love you so much. You know I didn't see this coming. You know I'm confused. You know I'm afraid. You know I'm struggling. What do you want me to do? And he'll take you through the word and you'll be healed and restored. And man, I want you to know something. You don't have to be controlled by your wounds. Turn to someone and say, you don't have to be controlled by your wounds. Stop being the victim and start declaring victory. Calling those things which are not as though they already are. You might be in the midst of the battle, the midst of the fire, but I want you to know that by his stripes you are healed, that through the power of Jesus, he'll heal your broken heart. The Lord has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. God has wholeness for you. Your yesterday can't define you. Let me say it one more time. Your yesterday cannot define you because it's dead. The only thing that defines you today is how you choose to live the next 24 hours you have. How will you be defined? I choose to let the Word of God define me. I choose to allow my feet to walk, and the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. I choose to walk by faith and not by sight. I choose to live in victory and not defeat. I choose to live with a whole heart, not a broken heart. I choose to be healthy in my body, not sick in my body. I choose, I decree, I declare, I speak the word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of my heart. The words that Jesus spoke, they are spirit and they are life. I choose life. I choose to live. I choose my day. This is the day the Lord has made. And every one of us have this choice to be defined by your yesterday or to live in your today. And today, many of you are brokenhearted, and you maybe never heard that Jesus will heal those brokenness inside of you. Some of you have been carrying it for decades, literally decades. You've been carrying wounds, those broken hearts in your life. Man, I want you to know today that God will start that healing process. Some of you get healed. Some of you get a miracle. But the one thing for sure is that Jesus wants you healthy, because healthy people live the day in fullness. Sick people live the day just surviving. Are you a survivor or are you a victor? That is the determination you've got to make in your heart. Listen, men, I know how cool you are. I'm cool too. I'm a pretty cool guy. All my kids' friends like me. I think that's a good sign. I'm not as cool as Pastor Banfield, the OG. I'm definitely not as cool as Abe. Abe, stand up and wave at everybody. Be Abe's friend. But you see, no matter who these two are, as big as they are and as strong as they are, they still experience wounds too. Gentlemen, many times we really act macho. Macho, macho man. I want to be a macho man. Macho really isn't cool. You want to be cool? Be healthy. When you get healthy, you'll automatically be cool. So So my question to everybody in this room, everybody watching online, everybody watching on television is this. Is your yesterday invading your today with wounds? And if it is, today's your day to be healed. We're going to pray for you. I believe that the laying on of hands releases the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You want to know what the anointing of the Holy Spirit does? It brings order to life. You see why it's wise to come into the corporate anointing is it brings the corporate order. The reason why he anointed us individually is it brings order individually in our private life. That's why the anointing plays such a massive role in our life. That's why when you come and the anointing is released into your life, it is not a natural thing, it is a supernatural. And God, by his power, invades you. He invades your broken heart. He invades your thoughts. He invades your emotions. He comes into your life and he starts to rearrange and bring healing and restoration, reupholstering in your being. And some of you just carried it way too long, man. I don't know why you want to carry it. It's heavy, isn't it? You haven't smiled in a long time. You haven't laughed in a long time. I mean, I'm talking like, you don't need booze to get happy. You got Jesus to be happy. Amen? You don't need somebody in your life. I met men and women, they always need somebody in their life. They always need a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Why? Because they think that that's where they're going to get that healing. They're not going to get you healed. They're going to get you hurt. People hurt people. You need Jesus. You need healing. Some of you literally stopped your destiny. You've stalled your life. God is saying, I've got so much more for you. I've got great plans for you. I've got great purpose for you. You haven't even thought or dreamed. You can't even imagine the great things that I have for you, but I can't bring them to you because you don't let go of your past. Today is your day. Today is your day. If you'll bow your heads with me this morning. The first thing I want to talk about is if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen, we don't have religion here for you. Religion is just doing things week after week, day after day. There are religious smokers. There are religious tokers. There are religious swearers. Religion, God never agreed with religion. In fact, he said in the book of Isaiah, I hate your religion. I hate your new moon feast. I hate your festivals. God started them, but all it was to them was just ritual. What Jesus has for you and I is a relationship. He is the healer. He is the restorer. He is the Savior. He is the lover of our soul. He is the one that brings us to a place of wholeness. This is Jesus. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you to know him, the lover of your soul. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you want him in your life. You know there's a sin between you and God. And if you die today, you're not sure if you go to heaven or hell. And you want to make sure. I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. You want to get right with God. Is there anybody in the room this morning? I'm not going to wait real long. Thank you, young lady. Is there anyone else this morning? I'm not going to wait long. Come on. Come on. You feel him tugging on your heart, man. You know it. You feel it. Your heart's beating out of your chest. I'm going to count down. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. I'm going to have the prayer team come around the front of the altar this morning. Prayer team, if you'll come to the front of the altar. Pastors, if you'll come to the front of the altar. Ministers, if you'll come to the front of the altar. Listen, now, I believe this. I believe there are more people than just for 3 of us to pray for. We all have wounds. And until you're willing to get healthy, your destiny is stalled. Some of you have taken detours. I'm talking serious detours. You didn't raise your hand to get saved because you have a hope in what you did in the past. But God is not the God of the past. God is the God of the now. Where you are in your relationship with Jesus is everything. If you're watching the news, come on now. You either got to be dumb or blind not to know how close we are to the coming of Christ Jesus. Even worldly people are saying, this sounds like the Bible. Because it is. Jesus can come before I finish my next sentence. If you're here and you're not healthy, your wounds of the past you've carried all these years. Some of you are molested as young children, and you have literally allowed it to invade your future. You've got to stop. Today's your day of deliverance. You don't got to run up here and say, I've been molested by so-and-so. We don't need to know those details, but we want to lay hands on you, release the anointing in your life, and watch order come. Jesus loves to heal the brokenhearted. Today's your day. Father, I just pray for your church. Lord, if there's ever a time for us to be healthy, it's right now. You're coming so soon. We are people of a purpose, and God, we've got a great harvest to bring in. Ooh, there's the anointing right there. Go, Holy Spirit. Whew. God is resting on you. Lift your hands to heaven right now. Increase, Holy Spirit. Increase your presence in this room. Let them feel, tangibly feel your presence upon them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, he's doing work right now. He's doing work right now. He's doing work. Some of you know you've been called to the ministry many years ago. And you've taken a detour. God's convicting you right now. Respond to conviction. You never override. Oh, never override or break down a roadblock that God puts up in your life. That's so dangerous. I just really sense a moving of the Holy Spirit. This morning, without thinking it through, if you're one of those wounded people with your yesterday and you want to be healed today, I want you to step right out of your chair. Who cares who's around? Get move. Just move. Get to the front. Get to the front. Find someone. They're going to start praying for you right now. Go. Come on. Come right out of your chair. Who cares what anybody says or does? Oh, some of you got your life all wrapped up. You're so full of pride, you won't even come forward. Dear Lord, man, I learned this a long time ago. I don't care what anybody says about me. Do you want to know why? Because they don't got to stand with me in eternity. Just Jesus. Come on, come right out of your chair. I'm not going to wait long. The young lady that raised her hand for salvation, if you'll come with me, grab the girl right next to you. Grab her right there. And come right on up here, right with me. Come right on over here. I want you to get ready for the next month. We're going to put the soul-winning spirit inside of you, and you're going to reach a lot of people for Jesus this year. You're going to bring in a harvest. You're going to fill your role with people that from another church. You're going to fill your role with people that have never known Christ, who have walked away. God's going to use you in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. These are the last days. We've never seen it like we've seen it before. God needs you healthy to use your life. If you're physically ill this morning, I want you to come right up here to Pastor Obi and Kayla. If you're physically ill, I want you to come right here, right now. Come right out of your chair. You're sick? Right here. We need a catcher. If you're physically ill, don't stay in your seat. This is your time to get healed. Oh, but you know, it's not that big of a deal. If it's any deal, it's a big deal. I've never seen a sickness that wasn't prison. If you have sickness, even with cancers, right here, Pastor Ron is free. She'll lay hands on you right now. If you're watching by live stream, I want you to get ready. The power of God's going to come right through your television right now, right through your computer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's the presence of God. He's coming right now. Get ready. Get your hands up right now, wherever you are in the living room, wherever you are. Get ready. In the name of Jesus, I release the anointing. I command the body to come into order. I command the mind to come into order. Lord, I speak to that broken heart in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, bring in the oil and the wine, the presence of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now start thanking him for it. Start thanking him for it right now where you are. Hallelujah! I sense the presence of God. I sense the presence of God. If you need to go, you're more than welcome to go. But man, we're not going to stop ministering. We're going to have a collision in the parking lot, but I don't care. Getting people healthy is more important than anything else on this planet. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Don't forget to bring somebody next week so that God can touch and change them as well. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Enjoy the rest of your day. This is the day the Lord has made. It's the only day you have now. Enjoy it for Jesus.